Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Kirk Gray.
Yeah, I had to hit record, Kirk. You're just diving into this failure analysis process you went through, and yet another kitchen appliance that failed. So
we have a lot of luck at the Gray family household on either damaging or having kitchen appliance failures. And we've talked about blenders before, but this time it was our main oven, our electric oven.
Is it a separate under-the-counter, built-in?
Yeah, under-the-counter, not built-in, but, you know, just you can pull it out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, four burners, standard oven.
It had the cooktop on top of it.
Right.
It's all one piece. Okay.
Right.
Range and oven. Okay.
Right. So, basically, it didn't turn on. I punched the on button, the panel was gone, or no power, it looked like. Mm-hmm. But... And so I did check the it was a, I think a 220
fuse,
outlet.
Yeah, so probably.
Very,
yeah.
Very three pronged. And so, you know, made verify that the power was coming to the plug, which was kind of tricky with the depth of that plug, getting the blades. Those plugs, the 220s have rather long, blades.
Yep.
Neither for the surface area to conduct that much current without heating up. But anyway, I had to stick some nails in there to get my a little tricky, you know, and with the power off, circuit breaker off, I put some nails to get out points to touch with my voltmeter. And, you know, it read correctly. I saw there's voltage. Next is the back of the oven. So I open the back of the oven and up at the top where there's basically a control module for the whole oven, where the temperature has an LED in it. And it's basic two circuit boards, about 3 inches by 6 inches.
So is this in the back? Is it like a raised back where it has the controls?
Yes, raised back. Exactly.
Okay. So the dials for the range and the oven controls are behind the burners.
Right. Okay. And on a back panel. But the module is in the center of the top, so it's easy to access. And as I pulled it off, the metal sheet, metal covering of it, you know, there was a simple circuit board. The only thing was, you know, I was, before I pulled it out, I saw an aluminum electrolytic capacitor, and I just was touching things, and the aluminum electrolytic capacitor fell off.
And this is a through-hole component, I mean.
Yeah, it's a through-hole component, so obviously
that's not supposed to happen.
It dropped out, and I looked at the legs, and you know, they look normal, and the capacitor had no expansion in it. You know, it didn't show that.
It hadn't vented, as we call it.
It had not vented or gotten enlarged, you know,
right.
Where
hydrogen
pressure
building up. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, it didn't look like. And later I put, you know, I used the voltmeter to verify that it was still showing open. Mm-hmm. And it did show that, if everybody knows, you know, an ohmmeter uses a little bit of a voltage to try and. So it does. Initially, a capacitor, they're always kind of hard to, you know, verify that they're either have capacitance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a meter that'll measure capacitance, which is
shorting is easier.
Yeah.
But this one, you know, you can see it when you touch the leads of an ohmmeter. It shows initially resistance because you're conducting current to the plates. And eventually showed a, you know, infinite resistance. So it was clearly not shorted.
Right.
So I said, okay, I looked under the board and I see this big burn spot. And these two.
There's a clue.
Yeah. It's exactly under the board where the capacitor is. Now, these two boards probably have about 2 millimeters, the two through hole. Because this is an old technology, most of it is through hole components and some, transformers, some small components, nothing very big, but still it's through hole. And the two circuit boards are back to back with the through holes.
The pins, the if they don't trim the pins off enough, they hit the other board kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
This oven's probably 5 years old or so. And so I knew the capacitor was okay. And then looking under, the bottom of the capacitor didn't have anything, you know, showing it. But underneath the board where the through holes, where the leads of the capacitor came through, was a large burn spot. And from there on, I can't really determine what was the cause, but I'm thinking with this kind of older technology and through hole technology, is this lead free? I don't remember, you know.
Oh yeah, it should have been. I mean, most everything was lead free with few exceptions. 2010, it was all converted over. So you said this is like 5 years old, even if it was on the shelf for a year, it should all be.
So my assessment, I mean, my best guess is it is a lead-free assembly. It was before the tin whisker problem was really, they were aware of it. It may have been some of the early production. I don't know when this board was actually manufactured. It came from the original equipment manufacturer. I would think it's lead free.
I think it's lead free, but the tin whisker stuff was known back when we were doing the conversion to lead free. Studying that back in the early 2000s. Yeah.
It was known, but they didn't see that. I don't think they saw that till later that could still become a problem.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been known to be a problem for years. But, I mean, do you think, well, these leads weren't bent over. I mean, they were just protruding through a couple mil and then they had a little cone of solder on it. It was not like a lot of strain relief going on there.
No. But I could have tried putting gotten the replacement capacitor.
Was the burn around where the leads came through on the backside of that board?
Yes.
So that's a pretty big tin whisker if it's shorted between the two leads.
No, it didn't short between the two leads, but the burn. Yeah, it could be. I look at that board and I wish we had a picture to show the people.
Yeah.
And because I took extensive.
Well, just hold it up to the microphone. Well, I saw some of those photos, but the idea is that you had a lot of current. That's what causes a burn, right? And either it was corrosion, right? And it burned it out,
right.
Like a tin whisker, created a new circuit, electromigration. Depending on the technology of the board, what's the CAF, cannode, anode filaments that grow in the board?
Right.
I mean, we could probably list a couple dozen things that could cause it. I mean, it also could have been a fly or a mouse or something stuck his nose in there and got fried.
Could have been, you know, crawled between the spaces and found it. I've got the board right here, actually. I'm pulling it apart and looking. And, you know, the other than the, okay, we got.
Well, was there damage on the board right behind it?
Actually the top surface of the board where the capacitor exists, there's actually no damage, no burn marks, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the through leads. And then you go down to the bottom of the leads and on the board that the attacher, it's really burned up the whole pad. All the traces are the traces just around that two lead area.
Wow.
And on the opposite board, there's a very circular kind of flash mark where the LED module that shows the temperature and oven, all the digital output of the oven. It's really right under there. And there's
just a little smoke damage kind of thing, you think, or?
Well, it's pretty black and pretty large.
But it's not as damaged as right around the capacitor.
Right. You didn't get the burn melted. I can see bare copper.
Where did the solder go? Because you said the
that's
capacitor.
That's a good question. That's a good question because the holes are really completely clean.
Wow.
I can see the through holes almost perfect through the light. I'm holding them up to the light and I see the.
Well, I imagine this isn't a multi-layer board, is it? Is it just traces on front and back and that's it?
Right. Yeah. It might be a two layer, but it's probably just a single layer.
Okay.
And it's basically all through hole. Yeah. I'm looking at it. It's all through hole.
Hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a solid joint when they formed correctly, but yeah, melting it while it's in your oven is probably not a good idea.
No, but so it was, then I had to go find the replacement board. And this is where you find out that companies produce many, many,
models.
Well, they produce the same module, but with a lot of things, you could see there's a lot of options for every manufacturer that wants different function.
Oh yeah.
They don't include. So you have a lot of empty holes, a lot of connecting wires that are not there because I ended up ordering one that said it was compatible. It was a Frigidaire control board. It looked identical. Mm-hmm. I looked, in the pictures, the front and back. So I said, okay, Amazon saying that's a compatible board. I ordered it. And amazingly enough, it was almost compatible except for the self-clean button and the clock button. Huh. And that, well, you look at the front of the module bare without an overlay of the functions mm-hmm. on it. And you see that the module has got lots of places where, the plastic has a button push down for a micro switch below mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But those are all populated. They're populated for different models. So I ended up having to order the original from Kenmore, mm-hmm. Which was a bit pricier than the one I bought. But it came in a few days and plugged it in and everything works. And, it's a lot cheaper than a new electric oven. So I'm proud of myself. But I would hope, maybe because I'm a reliability engineer that I'm always really fascinated besides wanting to save money and, save money on repairs. And I've always worked on equipment. I've actually, put together much more complex and complex equipment. And so it doesn't bother me to open up something and try and troubleshoot it. In fact, I find it.
Yeah, I think you just lost your repairman certification. Though, so, yeah, I stuck a couple of nails in it, the socket. I could. Don't do this at home. We should do a disclosure there.
No, yeah, there's. I'm, right. You've got to be very careful, and unless you're aware of the proper procedures, like turning off the circuit breaker, verifying with voltmeters and other things, I would not certainly have anybody do that. Yeah. But anyway, it's always a learning experience and some satisfaction when I realize that I'm able to fix something, repair something that shouldn't have failed.
Oh, no, yeah, it certainly shouldn't have. But that's an odd one. And I think we, when you were talking through it and kind of the steps you went through it, it's that first one that a lot of people just skip is, well, is there power? that's the right. First one. If I was in the shop, my wood shop the other day, and I want to cut something with the saw and it doesn't work. And I look around, I didn't plug it in. Yeah. I made it a habit to unplug stuff and disable stuff, take safeties out. You never know who's going to wander in there or behind your back or inadvertently do something. And those are pretty dangerous tools. So right. I'm like, okay, it's plugged in, safety's on, not working. All right, let's go back to the fuse or the circuit breaker. I have a breakout board that has a safety on it. Okay, that one's off. All right. Do that. Retrace the steps. Now, with yours, it was okay. Before you even opened up the oven, it's like, is there power? Let's check this first. Right. Let's do the obvious stuff. And then, but then after that, when you got down to the burn mark, it was like, what could be the issue here? It's close to the other board. There's not any resid. And the hard part here is that it burned out. And right. so you don't know right. if it was contamination or, you know, some critter got between them, the leads right. or growth or, you know, or could be a stray bit from manufacturing that, you know, jiggled loose at some point and crossed those leads at the wrong time. Or, I mean, those kinds of issues went. I saw one years ago. The board was, I don't know, it was probably 8 inches long and about uh-huh. 3 inches wide. And there was a 4-inch Marianas Trench burn mark across it. It followed this trace from an op amp to something else and just burned a big divot right down the middle of this board. It's like, I said, no, you know, normally we would try to reproduce this thing, but do you, where does this current come from? How come it,
right.
how come the fuse didn't go? How come this didn't go? How come that right. didn't go? And they're like, we don't know. We're trying to figure this out. And it just, the hard, that's it for all failure analysis. I mean, the other failure analysis is like the Mars rover, if it's
right.
stops talking to you or doesn't do something, then it's like, well, mm-hmm. there's not a lot we can go check.
No, that's why they have one, in a, you know, a similar, identical model on Earth. Yeah. So that at least they can test things. Now, if I was working for Kenmore or Frigidaire or whoever, you know, manufactures the oven and had these boards come back. And the problem is I'm not sending this board back, so they'll never know, mm-hmm. you know. That
when you ordered the repair, they didn't even ask for it, I bet.
No, I didn't. Right. And they could care less, really, I think. But if I saw this in the factory, you know, and it, of course, this oven's 4 or 5 years old. So mm-hmm. whatever happened, it took a while for it to happen. And if that's like, if for some reason it was a tin whisker or something and touched between the leads or some solder creep, I don't know. The things that would be long term would be hard to reproduce. But if it was a proximity issue, if actually these leads were close and the reason that this finally is, you know, shorted to the LED leads, mm-hmm. LED coming from the display, which is on the opposite side of the board, there would be, I would immediately go back to the production or inventory of these boards and start inspecting. And I could see between the two layers of the boards through the plastic housing. So, mm-hmm. and it actually just snaps out. So, you know, it's a snap in, snap out, two circuit board assembly. Mm-hmm. So you could pull those out and start looking at the spacing between those two boards or look under there and look at the leads and see if that was, you know, that was a manufacturing variation. It was too close and eventually caused a problem.
Well, when did, I mean, you mentioned early on that you noticed it when you went to use the your oven or whatever, and it was no power in the board, the clock was out, yeah. everything's out.
Right.
So, but it, I mean, one theory was if the front panel is something that's a touchscreen kind of thing,
right.
or is it,
yeah.
you know, you push on that, that which
that could reduce the,
it could be it, but you didn't notice a spark and flash and burning phenolic polymers of the circuit board coming on?
Well, I could smell that after it happened.
Right.
No, you know, there's no indication, but yeah, I was pressing against micro switches on the top board that would potentially, you know, very little, but potentially could press the top board with the LED display on it into the back of the adjacent board that's interfacing. Yeah. Its back is interfacing.
Well, once you get another one and try it out, just put a bunch of 220, you know, 20 amps across it and yeah, start hitting yeah. it or pushing it hard.
don't
try that at home. Don't try that at home.
But you know, this would be in a factory would be a challenge that you know, if it occurred on more than two boards in vibration testing, and that's where I would focus mostly.
Yeah, see, you would go with vibration and looking for if you're getting shorts and intermittents or that if it's spanning that gap. But it's, I don't know if that vibration would catch the two things are happening. for that theory to work. Because one is the leads are a little longer than they would on the edge of what they should be, and right. somebody's pushing the microswitch harder, and or the housing that maintains right. that separation is relaxing or deforming, and vibration may find it. My right. first thought was to go after the lead length, because those are almost always pre-cut before they go on boards, you right. hope.
Because well, I would inspect that. Yeah, yeah, I definitely look at those. And
those
at,
would be different lengths. They take, would definitely right. be different lengths.
And look at some of the variation and the gap between the two two boards interfacing, mm-hmm. and inspect and look at several boards and see the variation in that, possibly seeing where those leads, because depending on how they were bent, as most through-hole leads, a lot of them are kind of bent over, but I don't know what the manufacturing, I think the manufacturing, it's still through hole, so it's probably the same way where the leads are cut and, you know.
Insert and through the wave soldering.
It's sure. probably hand insertion, isn't it?
For it doesn't have to be.
Capacitors and transformers.
It doesn't have to be.
I guess it's automated insertion.
So did the capacitor leads have stops on them so that it?
Let's see. Capacitor leads have stops on them.
Yeah, so that when you insert it, it doesn't go all. I mean, it there's a bottom out on the bottom of the can.
I think it bottoms out on the bottom of the can.
Okay.
There is one other. There are two other aluminum electrolyte capacitors right nearby,
and they sit flush, right?
And they sit very flush.
Okay, well, that's fine. That
I can't rock. I can't even rock them back and forth.
Well, that's good, because that's a common technique is for through holes, because then the wave solder pulls them down tight, and that's a good sign when it does that. Well, that's cool. So anyway, so what's next here, Kirk? What else are you going to break?
I'm not trying to break anything. This is getting ridiculous sometimes. You know, when I'm going through. Blenders and, you know, this oven was okay. I did an accidental slamming of the microwave door. I had to replace the microwave oven above the oven.
Was that user abuse or is that?
Yeah, that was user abuse. That was an angry moment in somebody's reaction to me and. Slammed the door hard enough where it broke the plastic housing, door handle housing over the microwave protection screen. In a microwave door, of course, there's the critical sealing of the microwave area from emitting in microwaves leaking.
That would be bad.
The rest of the door is just plastic, and it obviously doesn't stop microwaves. I had repaired the door handle and bought a handle and replaced that about a year ago and kind of epoxied it back together.
Oh, so you're not going to replace it again?
Well, yeah. So
I was just kidding you. I was trying to wrap up. We'll have to use that in another show.
So anyway, that was... You know, this was Adam would say a use case 7.
Okay. Yeah.
Where somebody is upset and slams the door shut, and it broke the door plastics. So anyway, the plastic door fell off, and I know that this metal assembly that closes and locks. To the front of the microwave, you know, to with the grid that you can see through, that seals the microwaves off. So I did use it for about a week until I could get a new microwave in there with just this metal panel that, you know, has the clips.
All right. You're just scary here, Kirk. You're just scary. So.
But now we have a new microwave oven that was obviously I looked at Consumer Reports for the best deals and the best performance.
There you go. You're off and running on something else to torture in your kitchen. So what I'm thinking is that, you know, if people are listening to this, I don't know how many times we've talked about, things broken in your house, but it's more than a couple. You know, if anybody's listening, I always have stuff break, but I'm not telling you about it. is he had a, well, anyway, if you're listening to this and you got advice for Kirk and, you know, and on how to keep his appliances running, let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And we have the speak pipe widget there now, and you can hit the appropriate button and record a comment or a question for us that we would like to include you in a future podcast. So we'd actually hear your voice. So that's one thing you can do. If you would rather type it out, there's a form there. Kirk and I can be found, our contact information and ways to get in touch with us on our about pages or via LinkedIn. And as always, if Kirk's not off breaking something in his house and doing interesting failure analysis, we'll talk about what you want to talk about. So let us know. Or if you've got any interesting FA, you know, failure analysis stories in your house, we'd love to hear about that and chat about it. So with that, Kirk, I'm going to say, just, you know, take it easy. Don't touch nothing. Back away from the appliances.
I'm not an abuser. I'm not an appliance abuser, I promise.
That's right. You have help. The rest of the family helps you.
yeah, that's true.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Kirk.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Talk to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.